This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by DVC Resale Market. DVC Resale Market has become the leader in the DVC resale industry. They have sold over $400 million in DVC Vacation Club and have over 100 years of combined direct DVC experience. If you're looking to buy or sell, DVC Resale Market wants to put their knowledge and world-class service to work for you. Contact our friend Nick Cotton over at DVC Resale Market at www.dvcresalemarket.com.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 408 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, welcome back to the show. This is Ed, and on this week's show, well, we've kind of got a double show for you. First of all, I have Lisa with us. Hey, Lisa, how's it going?
Hey, Ed. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. And I introduced Lisa first because Lisa and I are going to be interviewing Charlotte on her, how do I want to say this? Her Mission Space, her new experience at the new restaurant at Epcot, Space 220. Hey, Charlotte, how's it going?
It's going great, Ed. Thanks for patching in to Centauri Station.
I would call it an out-of-this-world dining experience. How does that sound?
Oh, I would totally agree with you there.
That's so appropriate. And then what's going to happen, we're going to do a turnaround, and then it's going to be Charlotte and I interviewing Lisa on her wonderful trip to Disneyland.
That sounds great.
So, and we don't normally do a lot of Disneyland, so this is kind of a little bit of a special show. We like talking Disneyland when we can. Okay, so the big event was this past week. They had the opening of the new restaurant at Epcot, Space 220, and Charlotte was able to go there for its inaugural opening. How'd it go, Charlotte?
It was great. Space 220 is a restaurant from the Patina Group. We know the Patina Group from other restaurants around Walt Disney World, like Maria and Enzo's, Morimoto Asia, Tua Tatoli, Via Napoli. Those are all Patina Group restaurants. They've had this one in the making for 5 years. And, of course, that makes sense because, you know, going to outer space is not just something that can happen overnight.
Oh, really?
It is truly an experience. I am blown away by the quality of the food that I had. I just thought the experience itself was amazing. It's right by Mission Space in Epcot.
Right. So that's the question I have is how do you get there?
So you go like you're going right to Mission Space, and instead of going straight ahead to Mission Space, you veer right. And it's well marked with signage, let's say Space 220. The entrance is surrounded by these placards that have great quotes from astronauts and other space voyagers throughout time. You go around a corner, there's a check-in desk, and then they send you into the waiting area where you check in again. So the waiting area is huge. Lots of place to sit and hang out. It's air conditioned. It is, there'll be somebody there that checks you in and gives you your boarding pass.
Your boarding pass. So what's that like? Is that just your, is it a beeper or is it a legit boarding pass?
It's a legit boarding pass because you are going to go to the space station Centauri. It is 220 miles above Earth. And so you need your boarding pass, of course, to voyage to the space station.
Now, you shared pictures with us, Charlotte. And I look at those boarding passes and I think, the original pre-COVID ride on Smuggler's Run, which they used to, they gave you these hard placards that told you what you were going to be. You were going to be a, you know, you were part of the yellow group and you were a gunner. So that was what it seemed like to me. And each, you know, there were obviously six people in each pod of Smuggler's Run. So there were six different, you know, two pilots, two gunners, two engineers. And then there was a blue one, a red one, a yellow one, a green one, a blue one. But, you know, whatever the case may be, it mm-hmm. that's what it looked like. It looked like that type of, was it like that or was it something like paper?
It was very similar to that. It is a laminated so that it can be easily wiped down. It is not paper, so they can reuse it. They can do whatever they need to use a Lysol wipe or whatever to wipe it down and clean it for the next guest that come through. I had actually forgotten about those at Smuggler's Run, so that's a really good call. It's kind of funny how this past year has changed so much that some things are even leaving the memory. I can't believe I forgot about those, about Smuggler's Run, but that is a really good call, Lisa. It's very similar to that.
Well, even Mission Mars, they have the green and the orange used to give you the cards as you walk in the doorway.
That's true.
Which they don't do anymore.
No, but, so I think that was nice, especially since we've been going through this whole past year and a half of taking things away and not having any tangible things to hold. And just having that boarding pass was, this is going to be an adventure. This is something a little bit more special than just walking up and being handed a beeper.
Right.
Or,
that's cool.
Or even scanning the QR code and then it sends a text to your phone, because a lot of places don't even have the beeper anymore.
Oh, true. Yeah, good point. So this was an opening event. Did they have a presentation beforehand, or did everybody just run into the restaurant?
No, they had a presentation beforehand. The president and the director, the vice president of Epcot Parks, the director, president of Patina Group. There were quite a few people that came and spoke before it opened. We do have that video on our Facebook page. So if you'd like to know who those people are, that's a good place to check that out.
Awesome.
They gave some information on why they were so excited about this restaurant, how it had taken 5 years from concept to actually opening up. Of course, a year and a half of that has been affected by the COVID. So that kind of was one of the reasons of the delay. But
sure,
it's open now. I think it was definitely worth the wait. They did a good job of getting it just right. And we know the restaurants that the Patina Group has. They have brought some great food options to the Disney resorts, both at Disneyland and at Walt Disney World. Like Morimoto Asia is one of the best places ever. That place is fantastic. So if you're familiar with those other restaurants, you know that you're going in for a really good time at this one at Space 220.
Awesome. So now I know we're going to have a time down the road at another show to get really, really in depth once they get their menu established and such like that. But give us an idea of what the food was like. I mean, was it space food or was it actually some type of food we can relate to?
It was definitely food we can relate to with space names.
okay.
It's a price fixed menu. So for lunch, it is a appetizer and a entree. For dinner, it's an appetizer, entree, and dessert. Because I was there for the special event, I was given the dinner menu. So I got the dessert with my appetizer and entree. Bread service will be coming for dinner. It's just not there yet. I think they just have some kinks that they've got to work out for bread service. But I have been told that it's going to be fantastic. The drinks are also space named with drinks that we may have a little inkling of knowledge about. Like I had the Celestial Cosmopolitan. Now, if you like a Cosmo, It's delicious, but they've done a few things that are a little extra to it. They have a lot of, like, the Aperol Spritz has been a really trendy drink of the past few years. And so they've taken and done a few things with that. Like, you can, they have one where they toss cotton candy in.
Oh,
and
nice.
It kind of makes a steamy thing. It's really cool. They have another one where you dump Pop Rocks in. It's really neat.
It almost sounds like a couple years ago, Food and Wine, they had that one area inside where they had those drink experiments.
Yes.
Exactly.
Really
like that.
That's exactly what it sounds like.
Nice.
And it made me think of that a couple of times because there were a couple of different things that between the drinks and my entree was served in a closed dish. And the cloche was clear, so it was, you could see the steam and everything. And when they opened it up, it kind of poofed, and it was an experience.
Nice.
It was like, oh, okay, this is, I had for my entree, I had the Blue House salmon.
Okay.
It was served with king oyster mushrooms, glazed carrots, baby bok choy, and a Blanc sauce. And I've had a lot of salmon in my life, and I have to say this was probably one of the best dishes of salmon that I've ever had. It has a wood smoke to it. It was so delicious. The sauce was fantastic. The pairing of vegetables, it was just great. So when he opened that cloche, I knew that, first when they served it in the cloche, I knew that it was going to be good. But when he opened it and I caught sight of it.
Served it in a what?
A cloche.
Okay.
You know, the covered dish thing.
Thank you.
Be Our Guest.
Very good. Thank you. Continue on.
You're welcome. So when it came to the table and it was like that, I was really surprised. I wasn't expecting that. And then when it opened up and the steam and smoke cleared, I'm like, oh, this is amazing. This is pretty beautiful.
Oh, nice. Kind of like a Space 2001 type of like opening special effects.
Definitely.
I know drink wise and a lot of food wise, it's called molecular gastronomy, is what it's called. And it's super popular at a lot of restaurants. I'm really glad that they're doing, looks like a little bit of that over there. I think it fits in with the theme incredibly well.
I agree. And, we needed something like this. I've said before, there have been a lot of restaurants at the Disney Resort that have kind of dumbed down the menu because a lot of people are just not adventurous when it comes to food. So the people who are, they label themselves foodies or gastronomes, they were missing out, and this brings it back to them. And I'm so happy. I know I'm going to be coming to this restaurant a lot just because I want to try everything on the menu.
Oh, no doubt. And we're going to definitely go through some of those menu items down the road. Before we move on, though, tell me about the atmosphere of the place, because 90% of the, I guess, coming attractions was about how it was going to be a space station out in space. How did they do that? How did they make you think you were up there?
So when you come in and you get your boarding pass, you are then greeted by a crew member who takes you aboard a elevator, a lift, and explains that we are going to go 220 miles above Earth, above Epcot, to the space station, riding the Stratovator.
Okay.
So it is an elevator that is attached from the space station to Epcot. And so you get in the elevator and you circle around and the doors close. And if you look down, you see yourself lifting off from Epcot.
So like a glass floor.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
okay.
It's more like a screen, you know, like a window.
Okay.
Yeah. So you see yourself lifting off from Epcot and you go further up. If you look up, you could see yourself going out of the atmosphere into space and then docking at Centauri. So you can either look up and watch your ascent or look down and see it from a different view. So you, as you go further and further out, you see Florida, the peninsula of Florida, which is really cool. And you exit, when you leave the space station, it's the same. So you descend and you watch your undocking from the Centauri space station and descend back down to Earth. And it is, that was pretty cool. I did it like 3 times.
Awesome. Now, is that something at the restaurant you can do multiple times, or is that just basically to get up and down to the restaurant? Up and down, kind of funny saying that, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean. I think they probably let you do it a few times just because it's cool and people want to video it and see, you know, they want to look down and see it. And then the next time they want to look up and see it. So they probably, I think it's really going to depend on crowd level and how things are. With it being brand new and everybody's trying to get in, it might be limited in that for right now. I do believe there is a set of stairs for people who do not want to
elevator. I saw that video, and it's definitely for people who have issues with heights and with motion. Yeah. That could be problematic, especially after eating a very full meal.
Yes, true. Very true. I don't know how long it'll take to walk 220 miles back down to Earth. But
fair enough.
Right. Well, it's kind of...
But there are stairs.
That's awesome. And it's kind of a nice nod to the old hydrolators that we had over at the seas, that we were taking a trip down under the ocean to Alpha Base, or what was the name of the base?
Yes, Alpha Base.
So kind of very, very cool. And they've been able to repurpose that and bring it up to the future. Nice.
That's very cool. I didn't even recognize that was something like a nod to the past, but that's very cool. I love how everything comes full circle.
Well, that's what's so great about it. And I guarantee we're going to talk about this down the road once we start getting our reservations and getting inside there. Definitely.
For sure.
Thank you very much for your coverage, Charlotte. It was incredible. Where can everybody see some of those pictures again and some of the write-ups and such?
So we've got it on our Disney Nerds Instagram page, our Disney Nerds podcast Facebook page, and the group. There will be a blog post hitting tomorrow with a lot more official detail. And just keep checking all of our social medias, the Disney Nerds Podcast, because I know that I sent a lot forward, and Morgan will be posting those for here till, you know, tomorrow.
Excellent. Very cool. Okay, guys. So now what we're going to do, and Lisa and Charlotte, we're going to switch. So I'll wait a second here while you guys switch from interviewer to interviewee, and we continue on and listen to Lisa's trip report for Disneyland. And, you know, as somebody that kind of followed the trip, this was a really, really incredible trip. So this is going to be fun. So welcome back, Lisa. How long have you been back?
Thank you very much. We got back last Friday. So almost a full week. A couple of days will be a full week.
Right. Okay, good. Are you adjusted back again? Still depressed? How you doing? You all right?
I'm doing okay.
Okay.
It took me, we'll talk a little bit about it. When you're going from the East Coast to the West Coast, it takes a little bit to adjust to the time.
Right.
And then, you know, once you get adjusted to the time, it seems as though you're getting on a plane and coming back and have to get readjusted to the time again. So that's, that I've settled. I'm actually back into a normal sleep schedule now. So that's certainly an upside.
Yeah. If I remember, I think coming back was a lot better than going out, as far as sleep went. Like you did better coming back.
It depends upon what your lifestyle is like.
Very true.
Very true.
When you have to get up at 6 a.m. for work.
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't even want to talk about that. Okay, so let's get back to the fun. You went to Disneyland and you stayed on property?
Yes, we did.
Where'd you stay?
We stayed at the Disneyland Hotel. This was a special trip. It was so our oldest daughter turned 16 in May. And because of, you know, the state of the world and all the craziness that's going on, we had said to her and to all the kids that we've decided that there's not going to be a Sweet 16 birthday party for our kids. What we'll do is, because every time we travel, we always travel as a pack. If you've ever seen us in the parks, is, you know, there are 5 of us. We're quite the brood walking around. That we left it up to them to choose anywhere within the continental United States. Trying to get one of my children to realize that London is not in the continental United States. In the continental United States, they could choose anywhere they wanted to go, and it would just be a trip just with them and Angela and I. And Chloe chose California.
Nice.
So she didn't, you know, she wanted to go to Southern California. I said, give me a handful of things you want to do, and I'll plan the rest of it out. So she gave me a handful of things she wanted to do, and one of them was Disneyland. And I thought, well, let's do it and do it right. So, so we stayed on property.
Wonderful. I love the Disneyland Hotel so much. What tower were you in?
I was in the Adventure Tower, which I couldn't have asked for a better tower. So there are three towers at the Disneyland Hotel. There is the Fantasy Tower, which is really where the lobby is. Mm-hmm. Then they have the Frontier Tower, which is the furthest away from the parks. And then they have the Adventure Tower, which is the closest to the Disney Springs, not Disney Springs, Downtown Disney entrance.
Right.
Which is really the closest to the park. We were really lucky to kind of fall out of the park through Downtown Disney and right into our room. We were really,
that's
really
fantastic.
Lucky. And I was on the same side as the original. For those of you guys who don't know, the original Trader Sam's is at the Disneyland Hotel.
Yes, I love that Trader Sam's. I saw a couple of pictures that you'd posted of it, and I'm like, oh, I wish I was there with her right now.
one of the luxuries of California, and we'll get into this a little bit, but one of the luxuries of California is that it certainly, as the opposite of Florida, it doesn't rain a whole heck of a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a lot of very comfortable outdoor seating. Whereas in Florida, they've got the outdoor seating that they have is a little bit more like plasticky and tough, and it's supposed to be weather resistant because of the amount of rain and the amount of storms that they get in Central Florida. Everything is nice and comfy and cushy. So yes, but every morning, you know, as I was adjusting to the time, you know, the first morning I was up at 4:30 in the morning. What else am I going to do but go downstairs and hang out outside in the nice comfy chair, reading a book, grabbing a cup of coffee, and hanging out with some cast members.
Very cool. Getting into the mood of the place.
Yeah. And they don't stop the music. They don't stop this. So, they were doing some work on the palm trees. So it was fun to kind of just be part of that atmosphere.
Right. How many days did you have total?
We landed early, well, like 10 a.m., 10:30 in the morning on Monday morning, and we flew out at 10 a.m. on Friday. So we were there.
Nice.
Monday to Friday. Most of Monday was spent traversing through Hollywood and L.A. and hitting the beach, hitting the Santa Monica Pier, and dipping our toes in the ocean, and doing those things. We were actually on our way to, and this is shocking to most people from people who work in the retail establishment, is to then go find other retail establishments that you work at. So we were actually on our way to what was, I think, our third different store. And I almost drove off the road to the point where once we left the store, I had to turn back. And one of the pictures I stopped and took, I stopped because the Jim Henson Production Company was right down the street from the store.
Oh, so cool.
So I stopped, took a picture. You could see inside. They weren't letting anybody in. They weren't doing any tours, but I took a picture in front of it. And I just think that's the place where the Muppet Show was made. That's the place, like all those great things from the Jim Henson Production Company. And, you know, I had to look it up. There's so much history there. It's in the Charlie Chaplin, studio, which is just, when you think about all the little idiosyncrasies, but that was really cool. That was probably one of the highlights of my trip.
And that was,
that
you
is
didn't,
so awesome.
And you didn't plan that at all. That was great.
No,
was
I awesome. Didn't plan it at all. That's I just happened to be driving it. So we rented it, I got a kid and we're going to tool around Southern California. So of course I got a convertible. So I'm driving down the road and I looked up and And I'm like, that's Kermit. Because big old statue of Kermit right out in front.
I would have had to stop there, too. Yeah, now I have a Muppet song in my head. It's time to play the music.
It was pretty cool for sure. But yeah, our day one was really kind of tooling around the city, and then we got caught up in that nice LA traffic on our way to Anaheim. And
right.
What other way could welcome you though? I mean,
right,
you
look at
true LA experience.
I can't. It really was the Santa Monica Pier, the Hollywood sign, the little Jim Henson company. We went down Rodeo Drive. We went into Beverly Hills. We spent a little time everywhere. And then ended up back over by Anaheim and did have a little bit of traffic on the way, but that's okay. That's what you expect.
Sure. Right. You can't be in California without having traffic.
That's right.
It's a part of it.
So we got into the hotel at this point, probably at around 6:30 or 7 o'clock, checked in, went to our room. And it dropped our stuff, and at that point we're starving, so we head on over to Downtown Disney and hit up Kraft Burger or Kraft Shake, that's what it is.
Not sure.
For some burgers and a big colossal shake for Chloe.
Oh.
What flavor?
What was that?
What flavor?
Strawberry shortcake.
Very specific.
Yeah, it was. They have a bunch of different. It's not the first time I've dined there, but it was definitely one of the. It's a great experience, and if you get the opportunity to go over there, it's certainly something well worth experiencing. And I'm going to get the exact name of it right now because it's called Crazy Shake by Black Tap. I knew it was something. So,
that's pretty elaborate.
So it's Black Tap Kraft Burgers and Shakes. And it's definitely worth it. It is fantastic.
Awesome. Very cool. Okay, so we made it to Tuesday now. What are we doing? Are we getting up early or are we sleeping in?
So, I'm on East Coast time. I actually had my burger on Monday night and I was sitting at the table and Angela and Chloe looked at me and they went, "Are you okay?" And I said, "I got up at 4 o'clock this morning, Eastern time, and it's almost 9 o'clock Pacific time." And Angela looked at me, she goes, "You need to go to bed."
said, right.
I don't know whether or not I'm going to be able to make it to bed. And truly, you know, to Angela's point, like they went and walked around, they went over to World of Disney and I went straight back to the room and I don't barely remember them coming back.
Yeah.
I was asleep before my head hit the pillow. But on the flip side, I was up at 4:30 in the morning because I'm typically an early riser and 4:30 is 7:30 and that's sleeping in. 7:30 is a sleep in day for me. So I was up and downstairs and hanging out with some cast members and enjoying the ambiance and got the teenager up finally at around 8 o'clock. And we were only in the parks for 3 days. And we were kind of waylaid. I didn't quite pay attention. So this is it's a postponed trip.
Mm-hmm.
We were supposed to do this at the beginning of August. And unfortunately, the day before we were supposed to leave, we were all diagnosed with COVID.
Oh, that's horrible.
Oh, no.
So, we were lucky enough. Disney's a fantastic company. I called them up right away. I said, "Look, we're not going to cancel the trip. We're going to postpone it. We're going to figure it out." So we were able to postpone the flights and postpone the trip. And I ended up adding a day to the trip at a, you know, much less of a cost than I thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. But we didn't change the days. So it wasn't, you know, it was still going to be 3 days in the parks, but it gave us a little bit more time around California and a little bit mm-hmm. more rest time. And with that being said, what ended up happening was when we originally booked it at the beginning of August, you know, I was like, all right, so this is, we're going to do, you know, we got park hoppers. So we're going to do 2 days at, you know, we'll do a day at Disneyland and a day at California Adventure. The last day we'll kind of bounce between and see what we've got. And then we postpone and now we're coming in the middle of September and guess what? It's Halloween time. So now I go to book my, because you have to make park reservations in Disneyland, just like you do in Disney World. And the 2 of the 3 days that I'm there, California Adventure closes at 6 because of the Oogie Boogie Bash.
Oh, bummer.
So I'm like, I'm not going to say, this is the weird world we live in, right? Because I'm not going to start a Disneyland trip with a kid who's never been to Disneyland and start a California Adventure. I have to start at Disneyland Park.
Right.
So I start on Tuesday at Disneyland Park. But on Wednesday, I can go to, it was just kind of weird how it all turned out. Wednesday, I could go to Disneyland and then close out California Adventure. So I started off at Disneyland the first 2 days. I did some bouncing back and forth day one. I was able to get over to California Adventure for a couple of hours, and then we went back to the room and so forth and so on. But day one, we started at Disneyland Park. So we walk out of our room, walk through security. Now the catch is security is, you know, it's a bubble at Disneyland. You go through security before you even get into Downtown Disney. And then you walk through Downtown Disney, and then you're in the promenade where on your right-hand side is California Adventure, and on your left-hand side is Disneyland Park. One of the reasons I booked the Disneyland Hotel was because I knew I could walk through security. And just on the other side of security, just before you get deep into Downtown Disney, is my favorite attraction at any Walt Disney Park, either you're at Walt Disney World or Disneyland, and that's the monorail.
Yes, I knew that's where you were headed.
So that's my favorite attraction. It was closed.
Oh, no. I was about to say, and that's really like more of a ride over there, isn't it?
Yes, it's really a destination. It's really like an attraction. And I was devastated. Now, I rented, like I said, I rented a car the first day, but I actually turned in the rental the following morning, because I don't need the rental for the next couple of days. So I only rented that car for a day. So when I turned in the rental, I walked back to the resort. It was right around, you know, it was just down the street. So I was walking back to the resort and I looked up and the monorail was running.
Okay.
And I was like a giddy little kid. I was on the phone with Angela. I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And she goes, you're looking at the monorail right now, aren't you? And I said, yes, that's exactly what's happening. The monorail's up. And then we walked over there and the gate was closed. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. And as it turns out, they've been testing it and they've been running it to keep it fresh, but it's not open at the moment, sadly.
Gotcha.
So we did walk all the way, you know, we walked through Downtown Disney. Again, Downtown Disney's not like Disney Springs. It's not all that big. So we walk over to, and now you're in the promenade and you go left and you get into, you know, Disneyland Park. And this was one of these kind of interesting moments with Chloe, because as we're walking around, everything's nice. It's fall. There are pumpkins everywhere. There's a huge pumpkin. We're just beyond the flag. And one of the things we say before we turn the corner is, and Angela, of course, applies a gender to all of her castles, says, now don't remember, she's small, but she's pretty. She's small, but she's pretty. And we did. We turned the corner, and of course, she was like, that's it? Yes. Aww. Yes, that's it. But it's the original. Like, we're kind of walking through that piece of, you're walking on the footsteps that Walt walked on. Like, this is history. This is not, you know, you walk down Main Street USA and Walt Disney World. Walt never walked this in the, in what you're looking at right now. Like, these are really the footsteps that he walked. So we make our way down Main Street, lots of pictures, lots of whatever. And then of course I cut left because again, it's fall and it's Halloween time. So why not make a beeline to the attraction we found out was going to be an overlay when we were there. We needed to head directly there, not pass go, not collect $200, and went straight to the Haunted Mansion Holiday.
Yes.
Which is, of course, the Jack Skellington Nightmare Before Christmas Haunted Mansion overlay. And they really pull out all the stops with this attraction. It is out of this world. The decor, there was just one of those things where if my eyes could take pictures, because I knew my pictures weren't doing it any service.
Right, right. And that's usually a lot. With those rides, the way they set them up for those overlays, it's just amazing. It's a totally different ride.
Yeah, I can't even describe it other than if you ever get the opportunity to go to Disneyland and you're trying to figure out whether or not you want to go in August or you want to go in September, go in September.
So it's
worth it.
Why don't they do that at Disney World? Was there an answer for that ever? They used to and they stopped, and I always never, I never got the right answer for that.
I never knew that they originally did it. But I happened to be talking to somebody there, and somebody, they had said to me, which is really interesting, they had said to me that a lot of the locals or a lot of the pass holders would be really upset if this Haunted Mansion changed, was the feedback.
Right.
I don't know whether or not that's true. Again, everything's hearsay. But the other thing is, and I find this really interesting, and now that when you think about it, you think about the Main Street Electrical Parade, and you think about these little things that bounce back and forth, across the continent or, across
the world,
the United States or the world. And that is, when we were talking about holiday overlays, I was talking to this cast member. She's like, my favorite holiday overlay is the Jingle Cruise. And they had it in Disneyland, and then it went to Walt Disney World.
Oh, that is true. They do have that. You're right. Yep.
And they don't have it anymore.
Oh, so now what? Yeah, that doesn't make any sense at all. Why would they have one set of decorations or overlay that would have to travel?
And to me, I think it's the draw. I think you're going to get this holiday experience when you go here, and you're going to get this holiday experience when you go there. And that is, we got off the attraction and I turned and looked at Angela and said, I'd fly across the country just for that.
There you go.
That's how good it is. They do such an amazing job. That's how good it is.
So to add to what you're saying about Walt Disney World's Haunted Mansion, I was at a backstage thingamajig quite a few years ago and asked a very similar question and was told that the Walt Disney World Haunted Mansion does not do the overlay because there are so many people who Walt Disney World is a once-in-a-lifetime trip all over the world that they are they would be disappointed if they came and it was different than what they were expecting, because that theme is not for everyone. Like, not everybody loves Nightmare Before Christmas and Jack Skellington and everything, but they want the Haunted Mansion experience. So they would have too many people who are coming from other countries who were expecting something and got something different. And so they kept it as the Haunted Mansion that we know and love at Walt Disney World.
Yeah, I guess it makes sense, kind of.
Kind of,
yes,
yeah.
It does. I absolutely agree. We went from the Haunted Mansion over to the Winnie the Pooh attraction, which is over by Splash Mountain. It's in Critter Country. That was just a fun little it was the first attraction that we went on that, Chloe was like, wait, this board's outside.
Right.
I said, the first of many. I said, the first of many that board outside. Yes. Mm-hmm. You get on and off the attraction outside. She goes, that's really weird. I said, it doesn't rain here.
She must have loved Small World.
Right. Lots of them do. Then we went over and did Pirates, which of course, we get off that, and she said, wow, Pirates here is just, Pirates at Disneyland is just that much better than Pirates at Walt Disney World.
They have a full extra room.
It's so amazing.
There's a whole extra room in Disneyland. It's great. Plus,
yeah.
There's a whole extra room.
There's an additional drop. You go through the restaurant. You end up, going through the Blue Bayou restaurant like that. That in and of itself is really nice. It's quite the ambiance. It almost reminds you a little bit of when you're on the attraction in Mexico and you're going.
When you go through the restaurant in Mexico.
Smart on Disney's behalf, because we ate there the last time we came, but this time we didn't. But it really makes you like, it makes you want to go and eat there. Then we went on, our next attraction was Indiana Jones.
Oh, that's great. That is awesome.
And Indiana Jones ended up being truly for the day. I'll argue for the day was the winner for the day.
Right. You know, I had a old little credit card size translating thing for all the language, those signs they had all throughout the ride there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was. It must have been given out like 10 whatever years ago, whenever the ride first opened up. And really, really cool to kind of do that translations. What'd you think of it?
I've done it before. I thought it was fantastic. One of the things that I find really interesting is that I'm a person that really, really does enjoy that Indiana Jones ride, and am the same person that really, really doesn't like its counterpart in Walt Disney World.
Really?
Which one? Dinosaur?
And I think it's theming.
Right. Oh, I totally think so. The wide open rooms in Indiana Jones, I think, is the big difference. You have these big wide open spaces that you see other cars and, you know, the other trucks running around as you're getting through there. I think that's really awesome.
Yeah. And then for me, the count, obviously, when I talk about the counterpart in Walt Disney World, I talk about Dinosaur.
Right.
and I'm not a big Dinosaur fan.
Oh, Dinosaur's fun. But you're right. But you're totally right.
I know I'm in the minority, and that's okay. I'm all right with that.
But I get it. I can live with that. It's a dark ride that you're getting jerked around and being shoved in the face of a dinosaur roaring at you. You don't get to soak it in like you do with the Indiana Jones ride. I get it.
Right. After that, we, you know, made a trip over to Fantasyland because we were starting to run short on time. We wanted to come back to the room, rest a little bit before we hit up. Actually, we wanted to hit California Adventure before we rested up a little bit and came back to Disneyland Park.
Right, right. Real quick timeout. How long would it take you to did it take you to get back to the hotel room from, say, the middle of the Magic Kingdom?
Probably from the spoke to the room might have been maybe 10, 15 minutes, if that.
Oh, that's great.
It was probably, I equated it to what it would be to walk from the entrance of Magic Kingdom all the way over to the Contemporary.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you.
That's so awesome. I love that.
Yep. Continue on.
So we definitely hit up a couple of attractions over at Fantasyland. We did Snow White's Enchanted Wish, if you will. Not Snow White's Scary Adventure. Snow White's Enchanted Wish. We did Pinocchio's Journey. We did the walkthrough. You walk through Sleeping Beauty Castle.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that so much.
We did my favorite, Mr. Toad.
Right. It's awesome.
Yes.
We were able to get on the Storybook Land boats, which Angela and I really liked and Chloe hated.
It's so nostalgic though.
Right.
It is very, and I think that they do a cute job with all the little miniatures.
Mm-hmm.
After that, we stepped away, and went over to, because now at this point I'm running up against the clock because California Adventure is closing at 6 p.m. So we make our way across to California Adventure. We have a lunch at Lamplight Lounge, which is over on Pixar Pier. Mm-hmm. That is, food there is fantastic. The ambiance there is great because you're sitting right along the water, right next to the Incredicoaster, right by the Ferris wheel there. So the food there is just phenomenal. We then, after a full meal, Chloe wanted to go on the Incredicoaster. So we got in line and got on the Incredicoaster. When we got off the Incredicoaster, I was just a little bit green around the gills.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, I'm going to walk this off. And of course, we're like, well, what do we have to do next? What must we do next before we leave? Well, the must do next was Mission Breakout.
Yep.
Guardians so it's really the Galaxy. Pushing my gastrointestinal system to its limits.
That's so fun, though. I don't think your stomach really pays attention because you're having so much fun. It's not like Tower where you're plummeting in the dark.
Yeah, it is different. It is different. And this one was even a little bit more different because after 3 o'clock at California Adventure, that does turn into a completely different attraction. After 3 o'clock in the afternoon, that gets a Halloween overlay.
Oh, nice.
Oh, cool.
So it's a little bit more dark. The pre-show doesn't have Rocket. It's got him on the screen, but it doesn't have him as part of the pre-show. And I'm trying to get the actual.
Why is that?
I don't know. Because it's just part of, because it's different. It's not part of. He doesn't use you to break out. He's using you as bait for monsters. So it is instead of Mission Breakout, it's Guardians of the Galaxy Monsters After Dark. So even the attraction itself is different. The screens are different. They've done a really good job. And the fact that they can switch that out in the middle of the day. So before 3 o'clock, it's Mission Breakout. It's the same with Rocket and, the animatronic and him working his way through in the pre-show room and everything there. And the soundtrack is the normal Mission Breakout before 3 p.m. After 3 p.m., it's like a hard rock soundtrack. And you're bait for big, scary, hairy monsters. So it is it's different. And I love the fact that they could switch that out in the afternoon, give you the normal experience like what we were talking about with Haunted Mansion. You get that experience. I would have, and to Charlotte's point, I probably would have been pretty upset if I didn't get that experience, the pre 3 p.m. experience.
Right.
If that was the only, if I only got the Monsters After Dark experience, I would have felt like Chloe had gotten cheated because mm-hmm. I really love Mission Breakout that much.
Right. And you're not going to be back there for the changeover. So
right.
If they had the whole day. Well, that's why they probably did it then. That's the solution for the Walt Disney World issue.
Yep. Uh-huh.
They already came up with it.
So with that being said, we went back, we hung out for a little bit. And then when we went back to Disneyland Park in the evening, we did some of the attractions over at, Tomorrowland. We hit up Space Mountain.
And that's a different ride.
Yeah, is it a different ride? It's different than the last time I was there.
Oh, okay.
And I had to piece together why it was different. So the last time I was there, it was Hyperspace Mountain.
Oh, gotcha. Right.
And it had the Star Wars overlay. And right. I rode it like 9 times. I thought it was fantastic. Don't get me wrong. I still loved it. I hate the fact that I didn't know where the track was going. I'm so used to Magic
the other
Kingdom
one.
And that track. Mm-hmm. But
Walt Disney World.
It was still just as good. It was still a fantastic experience.
Very nice.
Just a regular attraction.
Uh-huh.
We did not do Star Tours, nor do we do Astro Orbiter, even though I probably could have handled that Astro Orbiter. We did do the Buzz Lightyear, and of course, is that ride vehicle is a little bit different than it is in Walt Disney World, where you have a little bit more of a freestanding.
You get to pull the gun out.
Yeah, you can pull the gun out, and it responds if you hit the target. Like, you know if you hit the target.
Yes.
So that was great and a lot of fun. Cool. And that pretty much wrapped up our evening. We walked over and watched the nighttime show. They did the projections all up and down Main Street and on the castle. And did the Halloween projection show. One of the questions that I got from Sam earlier this week was if I had experienced the nighttime show. And when he he shared his video of the nighttime show, and the video has fireworks. And sadly, we didn't see any fireworks while we were there.
Oh, that's a shame.
But the projection show was still fantastic. I really like the soundtrack to that. That was really good. They utilized a blow up Jack Skellington, like a big, his head, and Fly Zero around the castle. And that was worth its
weight. Oh, that's cool.
So that was it. We wrapped up day one. Day two was very similar. We started at Disneyland Park and went off to the right side of Fantasyland. We did the Matterhorn, which I needed my back adjusted after that.
Need a chiropractor in Disneyland after that one.
And then some. They really need to do something about that track. That was rough.
It was so really rough.
But you're just talking tradition earlier. That was the track Walt rode, so get used to it.
That's great. Great.
And wasn't the story he rode
back in, hurt too.
He rode down that last hill into a pile of hay. That was how they stopped it at the end of there before they actually finished the ride.
I think they still do it. They just don't let you know you're riding into. It was. I get off of it. I'm like, I just am too old for. We're not doing that again. I'm not doing that again. We then went over, and I always say this. I said this the last time. I shocked the world last time, and I even shocked my own kid this time. I then rode an attraction that halfway through it, Chloe leaned over to Angela and said, "I cannot believe Lisa is taking this many pictures in It's a Small World."
Well, I know exactly why you did it, but go ahead.
I did. Yep. The Disneyland, if they did in Disney World what they do in Disneyland, I would ride It's a Small World every single time. I absolutely
the characters
would. Yes, right? Because you see the Little Mermaid and Timon and Pumbaa and Simba and Lilo and Stitch, and like they're everywhere. The Three Caballeros, like they're everywhere, and that is a piece that I think is missing.
I agree.
I think
Please
it's missing.
That to Walt Disney World. Oh, yes.
So just implement those characters. And they're not like, you know, they're just hidden throughout. It's not like, it's some of them aren't as obvious as others. But what they are is just something to look for and something to really marvel at and enjoy. Instead of like, oh, just one more creepy doll after the next creepy doll after the next creepy doll with this earworm. My brain.
It gives you rewritability because you get to keep looking for those characters.
Right. So that, you know, that in and of itself was just one of those moments where I was like, this is just phenomenal. We got off that and we poked over to Toontown. Toontown was, there's a lot of construction going on over in Toontown.
Mm-hmm.
Toontown's getting a brand new attraction over there. They're getting Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway.
Oh, how about that?
Oh, that's cool.
There is a lot of construction going on over there.
There's a lot of talk happening in Toontown. Did you see anything different on Roger Rabbit's ride?
I did not, because I didn't go back there. Chloe and Angela did. I did not. Sorry. It took the wind right out of your sails. I felt it.
All right, the Matterhorn had gotten you already.
Oh, yeah. It had absolutely gotten to me, and I was excited. I just wanted to ride the train, which is where I went next. It's been a while since I've gotten to experience a Walt Disney World Railroad, so I hopped on the train, and we rode it three-quarters of the way around. Got to experience that Grand Canyon experience.
Nice.
That they do there. That was definitely something that my kid was not expecting. We got off at over by New Orleans Square, mm-hmm. where we did partake in beignets the day before.
Nice.
We popped into the Haunted Mansion Holiday again because we had to.
Sure, why not?
Of course you did.
And then because it was her favorite attraction period, we then went over to Indiana Jones, where I did not ride because my back couldn't take it.
Understandable.
But what were the lines like?
They weren't bad. So the first 2 days weren't bad at all. The longest I waited in a line was maybe 35 minutes or so for Haunted Mansion, and at California Adventure, Radiator Springs Racers was listed, I think, at 60 or 65 minutes when we got into line, and it was probably a 35, 40 minute wait.
Okay. Not bad.
That's reasonable.
Yeah. So those two were the longest that we experienced on the first 2 days. Really, that's the longest we waited, period. There were long lines on the third day. We'll get to that in a second.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So we wrapped up our Disneyland Park experience, went back to the resort, hung out by the pool. If you're not familiar with that pool setup, it's got three different pools, but one of the pools has a monorail slide. I have to go down the monorail slide if I can't ride the monorail. We went to Trader Sam's for lunch. That was a great experience. And then just rested for a little bit before we hit up California Adventure for the evening. And that
was so convenient to be able to just walk back and forth between the parks and the hotel. You rest. You know, when you're at Walt Disney World, it is a trek when you want your midday rest. Like, well, you got to get back to the buses or whatever conveyance that you're using,
or even bounce between parks. You got to utilize that. That's one of the things that I really, you know what, as I'm getting older and don't want to be putting the steps on my body, it's I found it most convenient. And I stayed probably as the last time we stayed there, we stayed off property, but stayed as close as the Disneyland Hotel was to the main entrance. We just were on the other side.
And I was going to say that when we were down there too. I mean, there's off-property hotels that are closer to the parks than most Walt Disney World hotels are.
Yes. Exactly. I was really lucky with the tower that I was in and how close our room was. We could have been on the other side, and I would have been closer the last time I was there than this time, having stayed off-property versus on.
Yeah, that would have sucked.
Our trip to California Adventure really was, we walked in, we went right, we went to Soarin', cause it's, you know, the original.
Sure.
I love that Soarin'. I even love the building that it's in.
Yeah. To me, that's the building that it's in that makes the difference.
It really does. I wish that I could have all the merchandise from that Soarin', because I just love that you're in flight. Like, it's so geared towards flight. And I love it so much.
Yeah. We worked our way around. Chloe and Angela went on the Golden Zephyrs, which is the flying Huzima Watsits over there along the pier.
Yeah.
We then challenged my ability to function by going on the Pixar PAL around, non-swinging. I cannot possibly do a swinging Ferris wheel. but we caught it at the absolute perfect time, because by the time we got to the very top, the sun was setting.
Perfect. So
nice. Was a
fantastic picture.
That's over the that's like, I guess, would be over the roller coaster.
Yeah, over the roller coaster, and you can kind of see off into the horizon on one side, and on the other side you can see the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really nice. We did the Incredicoaster again. We did not do Toy Story Mania. That line was a little longer than I would have liked. And then made our way over to what I would consider the best Disney experience at night, hands down, period. And that is Cars Land.
Yes, totally. It's a different place. Well, you know what? I compare it to Batuu in Hollywood Studios.
Yes.
In that at night, it takes on a whole life of its own. It's another park.
Just the neon over there. We ate at Flo's. We had a great fried chicken dinner. It was so good. We did every attraction over there. During the Luigi's Honkin' Halloween is the overlay for Luigi's. That was really good. Then Mater's It's Mater's Graveyard Jamboree. the decor over there was fantastic. All the cones were dressed up like pumpkins for the Cozy Cone Motel. Mater was out in his vampire Elvis costume. That was really cool. Just the decor over there was fantastic. And then we rode radiator racers at night. And that was a lot of fun. What was that?
No, I was just thinking.
That's just nice. I'm just picturing in my head, and it's just such an experience at night.
It is. It is so good. It's in my opinion, it's just that much better at night. That area is that much better at night. And I was so glad we wrapped up just walking around there for the rest of the evening. We didn't do anything else other than walk around there, and then we left and went back to the resort, because at that point we knew we were going to sleep and get up in the morning and have breakfast and turn right back around and come right back to California Adventure, which is what we did. And we pretty much did most of the things that we did the next day were the things that we experienced the night before. It's radiator racers during the day. It was, everything, including doing Mission Breakout again, not once, but twice. And also, let's get down to, as we would call brass tacks, walking around the Adventures campus. The Avengers campus.
How was it? I've heard different. I've heard different. Read different things about this.
So, first of all, I got up early, much like you would if you were trying to get on to, back before tomorrow, Rise of the Resistance. I was up at 7 to get my boarding pass or my virtual queue for Web Slingers, which I was able to get.
Nice.
The Avengers campus is made up of a few things. It's made up of PIMS. Particle Kitchen. It's made up of Mission Breakout. It's got the the facade or the front of the Avengers building, which has the Quinjet on the top. It's got the Doctor Strange's area over in the corner, and then it's got the Spider-Man area over by where Web Slingers is. I don't know what the final result of this area is going to be. I feel like it needs another attraction to draw you in. We can talk about Web Slingers in a second. But there were a lot of characters. There's a lot of presentations. There was a presentation. There was a Black Panther presentation when I was there. I had walked through about 2 or 3 hours later, and the Scarlet Witch was out. I'd walk through 2 hours after that, and Black Widow was out up on top of the building. Ant-Man was out. The Black Panther was out. I saw Iron Man. I didn't see Captain America. I saw the Spider-Man thing is out of this world. That's really cool. And I have a video of that. I'm going to have to try to find a way to clip together and I'll have to get that to you, Ed. Because he comes out on top of the building and swings from, one side of the building to the other, and then, gets shot from the top of one building to the top of the next, and then crawls down the side of the building until he is there for pictures. Like, his entrance is really cool.
Can you tell that was an animatronic for the big jump?
No.
It's amazing.
Yeah. No, you can't tell at all. So it is, in and of itself, it has potential, but that's what you're getting out of it. And I feel like there needs to be something else. There needs to be another draw. Now it's new. And I think it will draw in. I think it will draw in people once you know what you're going to get there. I wasn't really aware of, and I'm a Marvel person more than I'm a Star Wars person.
Mm-hmm.
That area is really going to be driven by performances and character meet and greets and shows. That's what that's going to be driven on. And I didn't have any idea when the next show was going to be or when the next character was going to come out. Or
oh, gotcha. Do you think they have a schedule, or it's more based on a random type of, like, just getting out there?
I don't want to speak out of turn. I'm going to guess that they probably have a schedule. I just didn't have access to it. I didn't know where it was. I couldn't. I had no idea.
Right.
Because when you look at the attractions guide, I mean, you could probably look at the entertainment guide, and it will tell you. You click on the Amazing Spider-Man, and it does tell you when the Amazing Spider-Man's going to come out. You can click on the Doctor Strange thing, and you can see when Doctor Strange is going to come out.
Right.
The Warriors of Wakanda, which is what I had shown, but it's the Avengers headquarters, which is when you can see Iron Man, Black Panther, Captain Marvel, Black Widow, Thor, Doctor Strange, Ant-Man, the Wasp, and the Guardians of the Galaxy. They come out anytime between 8 a.m. and 10 p.m.
Right. Randomness. And that brings up another good question as far as, and, you know, before we finish tonight, I just wanted to ask, in Walt Disney World, we are, what's the word, tied to the My Disney Experience app?
What's
Disneyland have? Do they have anything similar?
They have an app. They have a Disneyland app. It's not, and it's similar to that of the Walt Disney World, the My Disney Experience app. It's just called the Disneyland app. You sign in. It's where you can see your park reservations. It's where I could see my room. I could open my door the same as I could at Walt Disney World. It gives you a whole breakdown of what's available, the Avengers campus, et cetera. So there is an app, and it's something that you're going to have to use when you get to the park.
Gotcha.
You use it the same way, dining experiences, making reservations, using it for your virtual queues, which is a great segue into Spider-Man Web Slingers. That was a great experience. It was an interesting ride vehicle. It actually broke down. And we were trapped in a place where I wish I had Ed Mazzilli and his camera. I took as many pictures as I possibly could. And it's in Peter Parker's, where Peter Parker does his presentation, and you kind of find out that, you know, what's happening in the attraction, because spiders have multiplied and you need to go kill all these, you know, rogue spiders. And we were trapped in that room. Well, that room has a whole bunch of different, you know, little things, you know, Disney. It's all tiny little things. So in the corner is one of those little, like, grabber machines, you know, like you would find in a bowling alley or...
Sure, claw machine.
Yeah. And in the middle of the machine is a whole bunch of stuff and Baymax.
Ah.
Oh, cool.
So I'm like, I got a picture of that, but there's all kinds of stuff on the desks. I'll have to send you the pictures, Ed, but there's post-its all over the desk. And one of the post-its is literally on the side of a gun, and it says, pew, pew.
Pew, pew.
Pew, pew.
Very nice.
Another one says ammo, not snacks. So there's a lot of little fun things. I took a whole bunch of pictures, which, you know, I posted on my social media page, because I was like, this, you know, this is just one of these things where you kind of need to explain it in context. So I'm just going to throw this up here and people are just going to swing by it, not knowing what the heck they're looking at. But it was one of those things where I was like, it's kind of a cool place to be trapped right now.
Oh,
I'm in
doubt.
The AC. It's comfortable. And I'm just going to try to lean over and take as many pictures as humanly possible.
That's what makes us nerds. We look for the breakdowns.
The attraction itself was really cool. It was kind of like an enhanced... I'm going to say it was really cool, and then I'm going to say something that doesn't sound really cool. So it was kind of like an enhanced Toy Story Mania, where you get into this ride vehicle. It's incredibly comfortable. It's large. You got a bar that comes down. It kind of spins you out of the room, and you go, and you're in front of a screen, and your job is to attack all of the spiders, and you're working together with the other people in the car, and there isn't a gun. There isn't a...
Oh, this is the hands one, isn't it?
Yes, you're using your hand motions to shoot webs.
True.
Yep, to shoot webs from... And each of you has a different color web. So, you know, my web was blue, Chloe's web was green. When you got to the end of each of the screens and you moved on to the next screen, just like in Toy Story Mania, your score popped up.
Nice.
And then at the end, all the scores were combined.
And it was accurate?
Yeah, absolutely. It was. They did a really good job with it. I really thought it was good.
Awesome. Very cool. Definitely something to look forward to. Okay, well, I tell you what. We're going to finish up. And before we do, what do you think was the outstanding moment of your trip? Not to put you on the spot. But did you have that ultimate moment? Or was it just basically really a good trip?
It was a fantastic trip. I think... I had a couple of really great moments. I adore riding Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. It brings me back to my childhood. There's something about it. It really reminds me of my dad and riding attractions with my father. And to be able to share that with one of my kids was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I loved the pumpkins down Main Street. That was really, really, really a great experience. Doing Disneyland in the fall is not something I've ever done before. The Haunted Mansion overlay was knock my socks off. I'll fly across the country and see that again. Holy cow. That good. But for me, I think getting off of Radiator Racers and having my daughter look at me and go, Walt Disney World really needs to step up their game. when is this coming?
We need to get her on the show.
Huh?
We need to get her on the show.
She was absolutely floored at the fact that they had all these great attractions.
And they are. Let's be fair. Walt Disney World has a bunch that's getting ready to open, and I think they're getting ready to catch up again.
I think you're right. I think that Walt Disney World's going to be great. When I got, obviously I'm back. I've been back to work. And, for those listeners that don't know, I live 20 minutes tops from the nearest park in Florida. So, a lot of people I work with are big, big Disney fans. So the first thing that somebody said to me was, what was a noticeable in contrast? Like, what was the big noticeable difference between Walt Disney World and Disneyland? And I said, the hours of operation.
As in?
Right now, except for Epcot, most of the parks open at 9 a.m.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Epcot opens at 11.
Crazy. 11.
Almost every park right now is closing at 9 or 8.
Uh-huh.
10 if you're Epcot. Both California Adventure and Disneyland open at 8 a.m. They close at 11 p.m.
Oh, wow. Big hours.
So they're running big hours. And the third day we were there, and I know I didn't get to it, the third day we were there, it was crazy busy. And I didn't realize why it was crazy busy until I was sitting at the pool and some woman swam by and was talking to the lifeguard about why it was crazy busy. I hadn't pieced it together that it was Yom Kippur.
Oh, okay.
And it's a local park, right? Disneyland is a local park. Disney World is a vacation destination.
Right.
So all the locals were in the parks. It was busy. It was crazy busy. I sat and waited an hour in front of the castle just so that I had a spot because I was one of those crazy people. I wanted to get a really good shot of the nighttime show before we left. But the park hours are what stood out for me.
Yeah, how about that? Who would have thought? I think Disney World's going to start catching up to that back again. But who knows? I see what you're saying. And I always thought that when you went on vacation at Disney World, you always were getting up later than work. So it really was a vacation somewhat. Well, except for getting those virtual reservations.
Nope. It wasn't overall a great vacation. It was something that we got back and Chloe said, you know, I almost hate to say it, but I think I liked Disneyland better than I like Disney World. And I was like, well, it's Angela likes it better than she likes Disney World. And the convenience of having everything right there in the palm of your hand, if you will, like Charlotte had said earlier, there's something magical about that, that you don't really necessarily need to hop on a mode of transportation in order to go to the next thing or in order to do something else. Or if you're a local, heck, get in your car, drive across property to the next item. That really does make a difference. I know I've talked a lot. Yeah, I've talked a lot, and I feel bad occupying a lot of your evening, but it was such a fun trip, and it was something that...
That's great. It's awesome to hear about it. It gives us hope to get out there too. I mean, that's what it is, to hear about such a great trip where it's a real long trip to get out to the West Coast. So to know that it's worth it to make that big trip. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. Absolutely. I never thought about going out for the fall overlay stuff. And now I'm like, I'm actually sitting here looking at my next off days, looking at flight loads, because, you know, I can just hop on whatever carrier I want and get myself out there. And I'm like, I might need to go check it out.
It's so worth it for just because you don't need a lot of days. You don't need a lot of days for Disneyland.
Right.
I was there for 3 days. We just talked about 3 days worth in over an hour. Or in an hour's worth of a conversation, if people are still even listening to me talk.
Right. And we still can talk for another hour.
And that's, it was just 3 days, guys. That was it. We didn't really even talk about how fantastic the Trader Sam's outside seating area was, which is the picture that you guys loved, that I sat every morning at and in front of this huge fireplace. Like, there's just so much that property has to offer in such a small space.
So true.
Excellent.
And it's such an emotional part. I cannot walk down Main Street without tearing up. Like, I immediately start crying the minute I hit Main Street, because that's where Walt walked. There's just...
Sure.
When you're a nerd like we are, you are emotionally tied to this place. You are emotionally tied to Disney, and Disneyland is the mecca of Disney.
Right. Very, very cool. Well, welcome back, Lisa. And sorry you're back, but happy you're back too.
For sure.
Okay, guys. So let us know what you think. Are you planning a trip out to Disneyland? Have you been there? What's your favorite attraction out there? Let us know. Jimmy, tell everybody how to get in touch with the show.
You can email us at questions@thedisneynerdspodcast.com and email us individually at Ed@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, Jimmy@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, etc. You can send us a message on Facebook to the page, The Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds, Instagram @thedisneynerdspodcast, and Twitter @thedisneynerds. Make sure to check out the website, www.thedisneynerdspodcast.com, and watch the live stream every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Walt Disney World time.
Okay, guys, so that's it for show number 408 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We do this for you guys because we want to share our knowledge to make your next trip down to a Disney park that much better. For Lisa, for Charlotte, this is Ed, and we're the Disney Nerds, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
So long, everybody.
Just keep swimming.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in